Welcome to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, what a finish. Rangers fans will not be happy, and in the big picture, another playoff loss to the London Knights is difficult to swallow. This one comes in the form of a sweep, but a gutsy, gutsy effort right down to the very end for the Kitchener Rangers tonight. Let's get you through the scoring summary from this game. We'll take you back to the first period. And just 39 seconds into the game, Jacob Julien's fifth of the playoffs from Ruslan Gazizov made it 1-0 London. But the Rangers would get that one back. Carson Rakoff with his sixth of the playoffs from Hunter Brustevich and Matthias Stark at 11:15 of the first. And we had a 1-1 game after 20 minutes. In the second, it was Julien again. His second of the game, sixth of the postseason from Kasper Haltonen and Easton Cowan. On a London power play at 13:54, that made it 2-1 London. And forgive me for saying it, but yet again, Jacob Julien, his second consecutive hat trick. This one coming from Jackson Edward and Ruslan Gazizov at 16:52 of the second. 3-1 London. And perhaps the dagger. In fact, it would stand up to be the game winner just 54 seconds later. Haltonen with his sixth from Sam Dickinson, and it was 4-1 for the London Knights. The Rangers would get one back late, very late in the second. Trent Swick with his fourth of the playoffs from Matt Sopp and Matt Andonovsky at 19:42. So with 18 seconds to play in the second period, it was 4-2 after 40 minutes. And then in the third, the Rangers would take their timeout. They would get the net empty with 3 minutes to go, and whatever play they drew up, they executed to perfection. 13 seconds later, it would be Trent Swick again. Off a shot from Philip Machar, Swick would tip it home. Carson Rakoff, the secondary assist on that one, and the goal coming at 17:13. So with just 2:47 remaining, of course, the Rangers kept their net empty, and they pressed. And they pressed, and they had more chances. And in the final seconds, less than 10 seconds to go, Carson Rakoff had the puck on his stick, but it was a rolling puck. He couldn't settle it down for the shot he wanted. Simpson got across. Rakoff got maybe three-quarters of the Rakoff shot, and it was not meant to be. They even had the Rangers did one more chance after that, but couldn't beat Simpson again. And this one comes to an end. 4-3 the final in favor of the Knights, who go 1-for-2 on the Channers power play. The Rangers go 0-for-2. And the final shots in this game, 29 apiece. A big crowd here at the Memorial Auditorium tonight. They have the attendance now listed 7,258 here to take in what turns out to be the final game of this Kitchener Rangers season. But what an effort they gave in the final game. Short-handed on the blue line with no Simon Motu, no Olivier Savard, no Carson Campbell. Matthias Stark, the rookie forward, plays defense for the final couple of games of this series. Andrew McNeil gets called up from the Junior B ranks to play defense in this critical clinching game for the London Knights. And I personally do not believe the Rangers have anything to hang their heads about. They left the 7,200-plus in this building tonight with a lasting memory, to be sure. Now, in the big picture, I completely understand. This team roared out of the gates and basically led the league, the entire Ontario Hockey League, from October until Christmas. And then the second half caught up with the Rangers a little bit. The travel schedule was much different. And unfortunately, it is a second-round exit for the Kitchener Rangers for the third consecutive season. We'll take a break, and we'll come back with more of your post-game show. It's brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. You're listening to Kitchener Rangers Playoff Hockey on City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
And back here inside the Kitchener Memorial Auditorium, which has been quieted again for another summer. And when we get into the Rangers talk portion of our post-game show, we can reflect on the season that was and what lies ahead for this Kitchener Rangers Hockey Club. You got to be pretty happy, I do believe, with what the Rangers were able to accomplish this year, despite the second-round playoff exit and, of course, that exit coming at the hands of the London Knights, just as it did in the second round a season ago. It's a tough spot for the Kitchener Rangers in the division in which they compete, and you have to start wondering if the Rangers' MO moving forward isn't to find a way to get past the London Knights team that has absolutely had their number. This was not the only sweep in the second round. It's rather remarkable when you think about it. Some terrific second round matchups across the Ontario Hockey League, and besides this series, two others also ended in sweeps. In Ottawa, it was Oshawa picking up a 4-1 victory to sweep aside the 67s. Owen Griffin, a goal and an assist. Beckett Seneca, a pair of assists. And Luke Torrance, Callum Ritchie, and Dylan Robrick, the other goals for the Oshawa Generals, who have found their mojo again. Paul Fixter and I were talking about that during our broadcast tonight. Derek Laxdal, named the OHL's Coach of the Year, and understandably so. He's done a wonderful job with an Oshawa Generals team that seems to have arrived a season or so early. Everybody looked at Oshawa as a bit of a next-year team, and they put on a whale of a run towards the end of the regular season, winning 12 games in a row and finishing first place in the Eastern Conference. Then they ran into a really tough to play against Barry Colts team in the first round. The Colts took them to six games, winning, including the opener of that series. But Oshawa has found its way back and now sweeps aside the Ottawa 67s. And how about this one in Sudbury? The Sudbury Wolves, the preseason darlings in the Eastern Conference to compete for an OHL championship this year. And they had some ups and downs. There's no question about that. They would finish in the fifth seed, but then they came out and made very short work of the Mississauga Steelheads, taking out the Steelheads in five in round number one. And then they go into round number two versus the North Bay Battalion. Now, just to be honest about it, I had taken North Bay as the team to beat in the Eastern Conference this season, but with key injuries or injuries to key players, Dom DeVincentis, the starting goaltender for North Bay, Anthony Romani, who scored 50-plus for the Battalion this year, and Liam Arnsby out with a suspension, I didn't think that the North Bay Battalion would be able to get it done against the Sudbury team that was finding its way after that first-round five-game victory over Mississauga. But North Bay makes me look pretty silly. And at least I can still say, well, I picked them to win the Eastern Conference anyway. But a 5-0 win for North Bay tonight in Sudbury to finish off the 5-0 or the four-game sweep. And how about Sandis Vilmanis, acquired by general manager Adam Dennis at the trade deadline from Sarnia. Vilmanis with three goals and an assist. Justin Ertl, the local boy, three assists in that one. Ertl is also a Dallas Stars prospect. And Dallin Wakely scored twice. North Bay 5, Sudbury nothing. And that high-flying Wolves offense goes silent in game number 4 as the Wolves are also swept aside. So London, a 4-3 win here in Kitchener. It's a sweep. Oshawa, a 4-1 win over Ottawa. That's a sweep. And North Bay Battalion, on the strength of a Sandis Vilmanis hat trick, a 5-0 win over the Sudbury Wolves, and that is also a sweep. Let's take a look at your three stars from this game here in Kitchener tonight. Your three stars are a presentation of the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at bbb.org. Our third star up here in the broadcast booth with two goals tonight was Kitchener Rangers power forward Trent Swick. Kasper Haltinen of the London Knights with a goal and an assist tonight was named star number two. And Jacob Julien, who had a hat trick in the second consecutive game for the visitors, was named star number one. Now, at the end of the game, when Swick was told he was the third star of the game, he said, "Give my star to Simon Motu," which I think is a whale of a gesture for a teammate, nonetheless. And Motu did then get to come out and have his skate to center ice. Sherry has sent me a tweet at Farwell underscore OHL and says, "Come on, Farwell, why can't you do something right for a change?" I'm paraphrasing here. But she thinks that the three overagers should have been given the three stars tonight. So it should have been Sopp and Motu and Martin as the three stars for the Kitchener Rangers. I understand where you're coming from, Sherry. Lots of rinks do that. Call me a stickler if you want to, but I think the three stars of the game should be the three stars of the game. The overagers on every team get recognized at the end of the regular season every year, and that held true for the Rangers this year as well. They had their little skate at the end of the game together. We pick the stars, or I prefer to pick the stars here in Kitchener as the stars of the game. You can fault me for being a stickler in this case because you want to see the recognition for the overagers, and that's fine, but the three stars of the game from where we were standing were Jacob Julien, Kasper Haltinen, and Trent Swick. Your three stars for the Better Business Bureau. Find a better business at BBB.org. Your post-game show continues. It's brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. This is Kitchener Rangers Hockey on City News 570.
You're listening to City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Here are your hosts, Mike Farwell and Paul Fixter.
Well, I think we have arrived at a first here at the Memorial Auditorium. I checked my phone during that commercial timeout, and I had a text from Paul Fixter, who is down at ice level. And the TV crew has already bailed. I'm watching on the monitor in my booth here. The credits are rolling, and we are yet to see a head coach or any of the players. The tradition, as long as I've been here doing these broadcasts, is that we get the chance to interview the overagers one last time at the end of a season. I shared the story before Paul Fixter went downstairs about one of the more memorable opportunities to do that. Memorable in a sad way, but memorable nonetheless. When Jamie Dornbosch and Jason Akeson were overagers and they were in tears, and it really hits home what this league and what this team and what this city and the opportunity really for these players, because for so many of them, this is as big as it will ever get. Anyway, we've always had the opportunity at the end of a season to do that, but that does not seem to be happening. As I said, the TV side has already signed off for the night, and Paul Fixter is still downstairs waiting, I guess, to see if somebody will come out of the dressing room and share some post-game reflections here at the end of what turned out to be a 78-game season for the Kitchener Rangers. They finished, as you know, in fourth place after leading the league for most of, if not quite all, of the first half. The Rangers won their first three games, so I would argue that from September the 29th, when it all started, it was a first-place team, even if it was tied for first place. And it was a first-place team at Christmas with a record of 24-8-2. And then they would finish the season in fourth place, took the Erie Otters in six games in round number one in the series that felt like it went on for a month because of all the back and forth and the eclipse days and everything else. It was a long, drawn-out series, well-played series. The Erie Otters are a team we're going to be hearing quite a bit about in the years ahead. And then to come here versus the London Knights in round number two, and the London Knights sweep the Kitchener Rangers aside in four straight games. It was 5-3 in the opener in London last Thursday, 5-1 on Saturday in London, 6-4 here at the Memorial Auditorium on Tuesday night, and a 4-3 final here tonight in favor of the London Knights. So a four-game sweep for London, a four-game sweep for the Oshawa Generals over the Ottawa 67s, and a four-game sweep for the North Bay Battalion over the Sudbury Wolves. Paul Fixter has found somebody ringside. Let's go downstairs now.
Thanks, Mike. I don't know who this is going to be harder on, Mitchell Martin, who I have the utmost respect for, or Mitchell to have to do this. Mitchell, thanks for giving me a few minutes of time. Just reflection on your life here as a Kitchener Ranger.
I was only here for 3 years. I wish it was longer, but I mean, it's a tough way to go out, but at the end of the day, I'll never forget the guys in there. I made, you know, best friends I've ever had, and we're brothers for life. So again, it's tough to go out this way, but I don't think there's a better place in the country to play junior hockey.
I have so much respect for you, knowing what you've gone through this season. How difficult was it for you to try to play?
Yeah, it was tough, but I mean, you only get one chance to, you know, have play in your last junior game. So I thought that was earlier in the year, but I'm glad I could come back and share this experience with the guys.
Lastly, Mitchell, just for the fans that are listening, what message do you have for them?
Just thank you. You guys have been, you know, if we see out in public or if we see you before the game, you guys are always so nice, so respectful. You can tell we really feel your love, and just thank you.
You've been a real pleasure to be around. I wish you all the best on a go-forward basis. Get healthy, and we'll be watching for you down the road.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Appreciate it.
Back upstairs to you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Paul. Mitchell Martin, yeah, didn't even get a full 5 years here. But what an impact he made, and what a presence he's been, and it's sad for me too. I all the time in the world for this young man, as pleasant as they come, and was a playoff performer and didn't get the chance to show that this year. We'll take a break. Come back with more post-game coverage for You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. This is City News 570. To hear from the coach or every one of the overagers, but I shouldn't even say it that way. We do not always get this opportunity, but tonight we are so fortunate as to have ended on home ice. It was actually my beloved earlier today who reminded me that the past couple of seasons have ended on the road, in London last year and in Windsor the year before, which meant no opportunity for us, no final opportunity to open up the phone lines for Rangers Talk and talk to you about the series that just ended. And I think this is really the opportunity to look at the season that was. 519-570-2545, star 570, and 1-800-570-5715. Some general thoughts from me. One is, losing to London is going to sting. Losing in a sweep is going to make that sting a little bit more. But if we can look in the most immediate past, I think it's very difficult to fault the Rangers for the effort they gave to 7,200 plus tonight. How am I doing so far, Paul Fixter?
That was going to be my question to Coach Ahokas. How proud are you of your club for battling, for making this a one-goal game, for making this series? Yeah, it's a sweep, but there was some good hockey played by the Kitchener Rangers. I think they have a lot to be proud of. and a lot to learn from this. There was no quit in them. Like, I didn't see this game being a one-goal game at the start, I have to be honest. I thought it was going to be a lot more London. Kitchener just found a way to battle, and it really started with Jackson Parsons, who I thought was very good in net tonight. Kitchener gave themselves a chance, and in the end it wasn't enough. But I would have liked to have heard what the coach had to say, because he must be proud of the effort that the players got. Not the result, but the effort.
When it went 4-1 in the second period in London, they poured in those three goals to open up the 4-1 lead in about 4 minutes time. That's when I thought this one might slip away from the Kitchener Rangers, but it didn't.
No, it didn't. They just kept pressing and found a way to get it by a very impressive Michael Simpson in net, and had this 7,800 fans on the edge of their seat, and the London fans nervous, no question about it. So a great game to watch, a difficult result to accept.
Another thing, bigger picture, kind of general observation, and I'll look at the entire season now, Paul. The way the season started was just incredible. I remember the number of times you and me were looking at one another thinking, what are we watching here? It's almost like the team couldn't lose. And they lost 8 regulation games in their first 34. And we thought we were in the midst of something special. And quite frankly, we were for that half of season. But where it ends now, after that half season, going out in the second round, the argument will be made, and I will understand it, that this team didn't need to do anything at the trade deadline. It could have sold off assets and built towards 2027 and then maybe gotten into the playoffs, maybe not won a round, though. So I don't know how much that round is worth, but I can understand the fan who will say, I'm bitter because we didn't get any further than we have in the past 3 years.
But I think those same fans, Mike, at game 35 after the break would have said, or not game 35, but at the trade deadline would have said, how come we didn't make any moves? We're in the midst of this. So, you know, you can't second guess yourself. Mike McKenzie and his staff believed in this team for every reason. They had every reason to believe. I mean, they were averaging around just under six goals a game.
You betcha.
You know, and so I understand the moves they made, and they didn't give up a whole lot. They got, in the end, Edward Chalet, showed in the playoffs that he's a pretty good player.
I thought so, too.
And it's unfortunate Olivier Savard got hurt, but he was serviceable while he did play. So I understand why they made the move. And again, I repeat, if they didn't make the move, I think people would have questioned, hey, we're in the midst of this. Why aren't we making some sort of move?
All right, let's get to the phones and hear from you. Those are some general observations from up here, but would love to hear what you have to say about things. Let's start with Mitch. Mitch, you are on Rangers Talk. Good evening.
Good evening, guys. How are you doing?
So first,
I want to say Rangers had an unbelievable season. It was so fun to watch. There's one guy that I want to focus on. I thought Luke Elnis, down the stretch, just had an amazing year, amazing first series against Erie. Where do you guys think that he'll fit in next year from the team? You think he'll have a bigger role to play?
Great question, Mitch. And I know Paul Fixter is itching to answer it.
Yeah, he absolutely will have a bigger role to play. Mike and myself have been asked all year long by the numerous scouts that are in attendance about him. They're all watching him. He will get drafted in the upcoming NHL draft. He'll have a much bigger role to play, and that role will also include much more expectations from him offensively. There's some scouts that have asked me, do you think he can be a point-a-game player, and I do believe he can be a point-a-game player in this league. He's shown he's got great hockey IQ. He's good on the penalty kill. He plays with a bit of grit and determination, which is what the Rangers need if they're going to knock off the likes of the London Knights, in future years. I think Luke Elnis is going to he started to show what he's capable of as a first-year player this year, and I think the sky is the limit for him.
Awesome, awesome. I love to hear it. I think he was great on both sides of the puck this year, and I'm just super excited to see what he and the rest of the team could do next year. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mitch. Really appreciate that call. It's a great description, Paul. We know that Luke Elnis is going to make an NHL team pretty happy, maybe third round, in the first four rounds for sure. in my opinion. And yes, then the expectation will go up and we'll see how he handles it. But he certainly rose to the occasion in the playoffs. He brings you some sandpaper, what you like, and he scored 15 goals this year.
He did. He had a good playoff round against Erie in the first round. And he showed in this round here that he wasn't afraid to get involved physically, because you had to if you wanted to play, because there was nowhere to hide when London was when we played London.
No question about it. Okay, let's go next to Cody. Cody, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hey, Farwell. Hey, Fisher. What's up, guys?
Hey, Cody. I saw you on TV last night. You're at the odd every night. You were here for the Titans game. Now you're here for the Rangers game.
Oh, yeah. Kind of. I'm an all-around guy when it comes to the Kitchener odd.
There you go.
I just want to, like, I want to say the Rangers this season was one of the best I've ever seen.
Really, eh? Even better, like, than the Memorial Cup year?
Oh, no, no, no. Not like the Memorial Cup year. Like,
okay.
We had our ups and downs, though. Like, it was kind of like a movie.
Well, certainly at the beginning, there was a pretty good script, yes.
Yeah. I just want to also say it was awesome hearing you guys all season long, and looks like McCam and Mayhem's out for the summer. I'll see you guys next season.
Thanks, Cody. Appreciate the call. Yeah, McCam and Mayhem, that's the nickname. We call him Mayhem. Every fan, every team, Paul, needs its diehards, and Cody and Evan and David and a whole group of others, they go well beyond the crew that we know pretty well, but every team needs its diehards.
Yeah, they do, and you know, the players are real appreciative of all the fans, especially the diehards. You know, Mitchell said when I asked him, you know, what message do you have for the fans, he thanked them for the support they get. And, you know, there's going to be fans that are disappointed yet again, losing to London and all that stuff, but I don't think we can be disappointed in the money in the bank that these guys have experienced in this playoff round. You get one victory, you feel good about yourselves. You get a loss to your rival, you know, that leaves a bitter taste in your mouth. And you have to remember that all summer long when you're training, that I want to be better next year, so we are the ones that win the series that matter.
I love that point about the training. I think it was Sidney Crosby that said he trains so hard because he always imagines the other guy training harder.
Harder, yeah.
Yeah. And no. You let this, you know, keep this bitter taste for a little while, and then, you know, think about the other players that you're going to be competing against, and you make sure you out-train them.
Yeah, it's not easy to do, and I've always said, Mike, it's the things you do when no one's watching. It's easy to go to the weight room or whatever when your coach, your strength and conditioning coach takes you there, or the habits that you have. If you're in bed at 1 o'clock, or the guy leaving the bar at 1 o'clock, all those things. It's the things that you do when nobody of authority is watching you. You know, do you have the right mindset? And it's not easy, that's for sure. These are young kids. But if you want to be a pro and you want to have a future in this game, you have to commit to that.
London wins it 4-3 tonight, takes the series in four straight games. Let's go next to Keith. Keith, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hello. How are you, Mike?
Great, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Good. Really, my call is to thank both of you for the great work you do, and especially to Paul, because I'm the guy who was usually, I'm at the rink early, and I get a chance to talk to him, and I talked to Paul when he came in tonight. So, you know, it's nice to talk to somebody who's done all the stuff in hockey, you know, coached and played, and we were talking about Mr. Hunter, and I think Fix will remember that, right, Fix?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And we did, and yeah, I told him the story about what I'm going through, but I'll tell you, going to the games, what I'm going through is painful a bit, but the excitement of the game, and it's sad to see the season end. You know, I know how the guys feel. You know, I played hockey many years ago, and I know what it's like to be on the winning side and on the losing side. Losing sucks, but hopefully you gain some knowledge and strength, and I had a nice chat with John Sopp's dad. And John and I played ball hockey many years ago. And so we've known each other, and I had a nice chat with him before the third period started. So, but again, I'd like to thank you guys because, you know, you're both doing a great job.
Well, thank you very much for that, Keith. It's awfully kind of you. Now you know how I feel up here all season, getting to pick Fixie's brain, and we get to travel together and spend time on the road and have a couple of wobbly pops, you know?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But he always takes that, you know, minute or two or whatever, you know, to stop and chat, and I really appreciate that. So
I appreciate you having good questions to ask me when I come through. You don't just waste my time. You actually have an intelligent conversation.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You did share your previous struggles with me, and I wish you all the best on your road to recovery. It's been good so far, and keep up the good work, and I wish you all the best in your continued good health.
Yeah, it's the worst part is over now. It's just got to get, you know, get healed up and everything, and I don't play hockey anymore, but I miss it. But coming to the Ranger games and then listening to you guys after the game, and it really helps. So
I bet we would have battled against one another in the old KW ball hockey league, because I played in that for a long time too, and I played against Matthew Sopp's father, so you would have been in there too.
Oh yeah, exactly. I was the goalie. Sopp was on my team. I don't want to.
Okay.
I don't want to. John always said, "Don't tell anybody too many stories about our team," but we did have a lot of fun.
Well, I'll tell you, the only thing I know about goaltending is how to score on them.
That happened too. That happened too. But no, we did have a lot of fun, even though I was much older than John. So I found out tonight he's 64 and I'm 76. So there was a gap there. So I was the old guy on the team, but we had a lot of fun.
Good job, Keith. Continued success and health on your recovery, and thanks for calling tonight.
Thank you very much.
All the best, friend. Nice to hear from you. Let's go next to Jersey Bill. Billy, you're on Rangers Talk.
Yes, well, email I sent you, I wasn't meant to. I didn't mean it to be a prophet of doom. I realized the chances were that Kitchen would be out, if not tonight. It was going to be hard to go back four games. I really do respect the way everybody's handling this. This doesn't seem, well, I'm sure there are hard feelings, and you know, especially the fellows aren't going to be coming back. But it's really great that people have this positive attitude, you know. And as I said before, one thing that really struck me about my little walk there in Little Rock, as I was listening to you guys, I saw an 18,000-seat arena that had no teams in it because they couldn't sustain it, not for hockey and not for basketball. Another funny thing was I was looking at a war game YouTube thing I watch, and actually the person that was involved with that actually bemoaned the loss of the Hartford Whalers, you know. So I really think that's a real contrast there. You have those places that had teams and lost them, and of course in the case of Little Rock, they made that investment, but now there's no resident team for it. And of course I remember what Mike said about how much it's going to cost to have a replacement for the Memorial Stadium when they finally want that. But when you think in terms of civic pride, what this team means to people and how people just relate and how it becomes a kind of glue for the whole community, I mean, those are the important things. Of course, winning and losing is important too, but just to have that center for the community is really such an important thing that these Kitchener Rangers seem to provide on a year-to-year basis.
Billy, appreciate the call. You certainly won't get an argument from either Paul or I. And, you know, it just makes me think bigger picture. I mean, Mississauga makes a short move to Brampton starting next season. But in the National League, of course, the Arizona Coyotes are no longer as of tonight. And they move on to Salt Lake City, Utah, of all places. But I could never imagine, and make no mistake, it's not imminent or probably ever going to happen, but could you imagine this city without its hockey team, Paul. It's impossible to imagine, quite frankly.
I wouldn't want to be the mayor if that ever happened.
Right.
Because you couldn't go outside. You know, I know how much people love this team and the passion and understandably so since 1963 when it was brought here. There is a lot of pride and having been down on the bench and looking up and hearing the crowd and seeing the 7,000 plus, it's an awesome feeling. I can just imagine what it means for these young players to have this type of experience, because let's face it, for most of these kids, this is the best it's ever going to get.
You betcha.
And if that's the best it's ever going to get, it's pretty darn good, because it's a special place to play. And when these players say this is the best league and team to play for in Canada, they're not lying. They're bang on. It comes from the heart, no question about it.
Thank you again, Mr. Eugene George, for getting this team from Guelph and gifting it to the city of Kitchener for the princely sum of $1.
And, Mike, I should just acknowledge that you mentioned Mississauga. One of the owners of Mississauga came in and had nice words to say about you and your podcast and all you do for promoting this league, and that's a real feather in your cap, and continued good work there, Mike. And I think it's really nice that outside of our region, people are acknowledging the amount of time and effort that you put in to making this a great product. And you do. I've spent a lot of days with you on the road and around here, and I know the preparation you do on top of what you do from your daytime job. So that's a real nice credit to you. And it was a real nice gesture by the owner, one of the owners of the Mississauga or Brampton, whatever they're going to... I don't know which way to go now. Season's over for them, so I guess Brampton.
It certainly was, and I was quite touched by it when Kevin Borg stopped by. Mr. Borg, if you're still listening on your drive home tonight, thank you. It did mean a lot. I'll just say, first of all, you're way too kind, Paul. I love this league. I love this league. I think it's one of the best-kept secrets in sport, and anything I can do to help promote it and help it grow or keep it sustainable, I'm here for, because it is a terrific league. London, a 4-3 win over the Kitchener Rangers tonight. It's a four-game sweep of the Knights over the Kitchener Rangers. We'll continue with post-game coverage brought to you by You Save Flooring. This is Rangers Talk on City News 570.
It's time to speak your mind. Have your say on City News 570 Rangers Talk. Call now 519-570-2545. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Well, Jacob Julian, back-to-back hat tricks for the London Knights, and his three helped propel London to a 4-3 victory over Kitchener tonight and a four-game series sweep. A quick look behind the scenes. With all the work I was doing to get ready for the game tonight, I got to the media room a little later than usual, and there were a few leaves of salad left and zero on the dessert plate. The reason nobody saved me a cookie is because the guy who saves me cookies wasn't here tonight. That would be Mikey, the Moose Reeves, bus driver for the Kitchener Rangers, who is on the phone with us this morning. Moosey, or this evening. Moosey, I didn't get a cookie tonight. You weren't here to save me.
Mr. Farwell, I'm sorry. couldn't make the game tonight. Work called. I'm crushed for all those kids. I'm upset for them. I can't imagine how they all feel there tonight. You know how I feel about them. I love all of them, and I'll miss them.
You've been part of this team for 7 years, Moosey.
Seven fun years.
And, that's an overage plus two.
An overage plus two, and I was hoping it was going to be more rides this year, but unfortunately, that goofy London team wasn't going to allow it. So, you know, like I say, you know how I feel about that team. So,
we do for sure. And listen, you may be moving on to drive other places and other people and support other organizations, but they always say once a Ranger, always a Ranger. You've got my phone number, too. I'll always pick up, Moosey, when you call.
Well, it's like I say, it's, you know, I made a lot of friends there, and of course you're one of them, and a new friend in Paul. So
thanks, Moose. Appreciate that.
We had a lot of nice conversations this, especially late in the year over breakfast.
That's true.
On the road there, so yeah, but everybody there. But I'll be in touch. I'll be in touch with you very shortly. So.
Good. And make sure you still come to games. You can get your preferred parking spot and come to the occasional game next year.
I'll still be a fan. I'll always be a fan. I'll be at the game. I'll go buy my ticket.
Attaboy. Attaboy.
Thanks for keeping us safe all year long, Moose. Greatly appreciated.
We'll talk to you guys soon.
Thanks, Mikey. You take care. Our bus driver for 7 years, and Paul, you would know as well as anybody the integral role these guys really play on a hockey club.
I can visualize Mike when we were coming back from the on 69, and he hammered on the brakes because there was that tractor trailer. Remember?
Oh my God! Don't remind me. I didn't even tell my beloved about that one.
Yeah, pulling out, and Moose kept us safe, and you know that could have been horrific. And you know, I think we get reminders all the time of things that happen on the road, and these guys take their job seriously and professionally, and we were safe all year long.
Mike was a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun to be around too. He takes a good joke, he gives one back, and he does, as you mentioned, keep us safe out there. And whoever fills that seat next year is taking over for somebody that did a great job for 7 seasons. All right, continuing on Rangers Talk, Jim Bagg, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Paul. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Well, wasn't that one heck of a series? That was great junior hockey.
You know, for a four-game sweep, it did have a whole heck of a lot in it, didn't it? It had drama. It had controversy. It had some well-played hockey games. It had full arenas on both ends. Yeah, I think you're right.
You guys know I met you in London there few weeks ago. I'm a diehard London Knights fan, but Kitchener fans, Kitchener Ranger Nation, hold your heads high. What a fantastic team you guys put on the ice this year. The future looks awfully bright for the Kitchener Rangers.
Well, and every year looks bright for the London Knights. But I think you're right, Jim. I think the Rangers do have a really nice core here, and it should be a fun couple of seasons watching them grow.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you guys. I always tune into the post-game, listen to it online, and I'm going to miss you guys. We'll still keep listening to the OHL podcast, so Mike, keep up the good work there, and we may talk to you again next year.
I will look forward to that. And let me just, you know, Jim, as a diehard London Knights fan, thanks for being such a good fan of this league. And even though I work in Kitchener, you and I can still have conversations both online and on the phone like this without taking one another's heads off. That's good.
Yeah. Exactly. It's for the love of the game, and it's a great product on the ice.
Beautiful.
It certainly is.
Respect, brother. Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, thank you.
That's the way it should be, isn't it, Fixie?
It is, and I really like, he makes a great point. For a sweep of a series, it was a heck of a series.
It really was.
And that's why I would have liked to ask UC what his thoughts on his team's performance, because there was no quit. They just kept pushing, they kept trying, and in the end they just came up a little bit short. But it wasn't for lack of trying, lack of effort.
Well, and tonight, Paul, no Simon Motu, no Olivier Savard, no Carson Campbell. Hello, Matthias Stark on defense. Hello, Andrew McNeil on defense.
Welcome to the playoffs, Andrew McNeil.
My goodness.
Like, wow. Yeah. And, you know, and the emotional impact of losing Motu, that's tough. And then Mitch Martin never came back after, in fact, he took his equipment off, he told me, and he put it back on like Motu did for the postgame. Those are emotionally draining things for the players that have to remain here, and they still have to try to battle through that. So it's not easy. It isn't. And, you know, I'm sure there's doubters out there saying, well, you have to be stronger than that. It's not easy. It really, and we lose sight of the fact sometimes that these are, as the coach says, young boys. These are young kids. Some of them are a little bit stronger than others mentally and emotionally, but they're all about the same.
Yeah, and they max out at 21 years of age. If they turn 21 during the season, that's as old as you can get in this league. Those are still kids to me for sure. Let's continue on Rangers Talk following a 4-3 London victory and a four-game series sweep. Jeffrey, you're next on Rangers Talk.
Hey, guys. Just keep it short and sweet there because a big fan and just really proud of the boys. And I think that probably could have been a lot more left on the ice, but there was a lot left on the ice. And at the end of the game, they're watching them at center ice. They were, you know, I'd say 99% of them were pretty emotional and everything about what transpired. And come back hungrier. And the old Rangers, I think, definitely made an impact. And they showed the scouts, and I'm sure Sopp will probably get a lot of attention now. And I'm glad that Nickel was able to come back for a few games. And you know what? It's kind of ironic, right? Nickel comes back and he's able to finish the season.
Motu, you mean the big Nickel, Mitch Martin?
Yeah, the big Nickel. Yeah. And then Motu kind of, he doesn't get to play the last game, but he was a horse all year, and he's an overager as well. And I'm just, like I said, it's junior hockey. It's a great thing. I really enjoy supporting, but as many others do. And it was a nice little family down by the glass there. It was just good. And it's a shame that it ends now. But at the same time, almost everybody that I chatted with leaving, and you know, everybody, they're all excited. And they think it's a great night out. I think people are really starting to catch on the fact that Friday nights in Kitchener at the Odd are a really fun time to be. And
you think they're just starting to catch on to that, aren't you?
No. Well, but I think it's going to be a really hard ticket as time goes on. It's a hard ticket in a way now, and they almost sold out tonight. I just really think that it's really going to come to fruition over the next little bit. They got a great staff there, you know, Birch and everybody running things, and I think that the more that they pump the team and the more that they engage and you know, people start, you know, players become household names and stuff like that, maybe the Memorial Cup comes in 2026 or 2027. And Kitchener, like I said, Kitchener's always been good. They've always been a powerhouse, but I just think that it's coming back sort of to what it was pre-COVID. And
all right.
I think, yeah, thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks, Jeffrey. I love how he starts with just a couple of quick things. And anyway, I love Jeffrey's passion, and I would submit to you that there's no secret here. Friday nights are made for hockey in Kitchener from October through April, period.
No, they are, Mike, and, yeah, and the fan base loves it. And the passion, no question about it. As he was going on there, it reminded me of my years ago when I was in Hershey, and we lost out, and the fans, small town, like about the size of Elmira, and very passionate fan base, and 10,000 every night. And some of the fans said to me, so, Coach, now that the season's over, what are you going to do? And I said, I'm going to enjoy some warm weather in the summer, and, you know, I'll get back into it come the fall, but I'm going to enjoy some time away too. And I think that's important. You know, you have to get away and recharge the batteries and miss it. And then when you come back, it's that much more special to you.
Absolutely. I want to quickly go to a couple of texts. I got one from a buddy, so he's biased, but he texted, say he's been listening to us through this series, really enjoying the work that we're doing. And then from my friend Megan. So Megan and Toby are the Village Caterer, and I want to say this because I want to give them the shout-out that they so richly deserve. They take care of the media room here in Kitchener, and we are treated, in my estimation, to the best food anybody gets anywhere in this league. I did a ranking this year, and some of the scouts are still giving me a bit of a hard time. No, this should have been number one, but Kitchener was always top three. It's number one for me with a bullet. But Megan and Toby, Village Caterer, hey, Mr. Mike, Toby and I want to send a thank you to you and Paul for allowing us to feel like we were at the games when we were in the kitchen during the majority of the games this year. You both are awesome at keeping the energy up, and we feel it through the radio. Thanks, Megan and Toby. Thank you, Megan and Toby, for they come to Guelph and get post-game meals for the boys. They feed us in the media room here. Every once in a while, there's a little special dessert tucked in on the road for me because, you know, I love my sweets. Another part of the organization behind the scenes that not everybody sees.
Yeah, they do a tremendous job, and good people, and thanks for the kind words. You know, we're just doing something that we we love too, Mike, and that's being around the game and calling the game.
Absolutely.
It's actually pretty easy up here because as I've said all year, you set the ball on the tee. All I have to do is hit it. I just have to swing away.
Well, you were hitting home runs all year, Fixie. I've learned so much about, you know, the mind can only absorb what the derriere can endure.
That's right?
easy early, make the easy play as early as possible. You've got more time than you think, but not as much time as you would like. You see, I'm listening.
Just think, if my players had listened like you, like you have, how good of a coach I could have been.
Wow, Fixie, I don't sit down, so my derriere's never getting tired up here. All right, the Rangers fall 4-3 to the London Knights. The season ends in a sweep at the hands of the division rivals. We continue with Rangers talk right after this. Stay with us. It's brought to you by You Save Flooring, and you're listening to City News 570.
Got something to say about your East Avenue Blue? Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570, Rangers Talk, brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Trent Swick scores a pair in the final game of the season for the Kitchener Rangers. Carson Rakoff had the other. The Rangers 3, London 4. And London takes the second round series in 4 straight games. The season comes to an end for the Kitchener Rangers after 78 total games. 519-570-2545. Star 570 and 1-800-570-5715. Let's get back to the phones on Rangers Talk. Sebastian, you're on City News 570.
Well, I had to, you know, I'm sitting here packing up tonight because me and my wife and my two kids are leaving Kitchener for Edmonton soon. But I had to call and talk to you one more time. You know, it's in a post-COVID world, it's kind of difficult to really slow down and appreciate some things sometimes. But the one thing that I really do appreciate is the contributions that the OA has made here. You know, every year it seems since the OAs that have come through, you're just always wishing for that, you know, hey, why couldn't we have that one extra season? And this group of OAs this year just felt special, especially with Matt Sopp, who's become one of my favorite Kitchener Rangers of all time. But, you know, the one thing I wanted to say is that the team gave us a lot to believe in. You know, we know what last year was, and as fun and exciting as it was at times, it was a bit of a, well, let's just say, I don't think that season, the regular season, went the way Kitchener wanted it to last season. But the one thing that I feel from this team right now is moving forward is that there's very clearly an identity here. And UCA Hocus has done a wonderful job. The team's in good hands. You know, they got contributions from players nobody even knew about, and Elenas and Duracolo and, you know, Arquette and McNeil, when they came up, they were, you know, they looked like they had been here all season. Sucks that it's over. It sucks that I won't be able to get to another game at the Odd for a number of years here, but, you know, this team was really fun. And I appreciate everything they've done, and I've appreciated everything you've done and the kindness you've shown my family. You know, just thank you. And Paul, I know you've been here all year, and you haven't really gone anywhere, but welcome back to Kitchener. You know, we missed having your voice around here. You know, you're valued in this game, and you know, we appreciate the voice. So I'm going to hang up. I appreciate it. Good luck next month, Mike. With Farwell for Hire, you know, me and my wife will do whatever we can to get you some cash, but thanks, and enjoy the off season.
A lot of love for you, Seb. Enjoy Edmonton. Best of luck, buddy. He meant it when he said he was hanging up. I've known Seb for a lot of years. Fine young man right there, and we're going to be sorry to see him go, but I get it. What an interesting assessment of the team there, Paul. And the thing that stood out to me was the identity that he seems to think this team has formed. And that that struck me because I think he's spot on.
Yeah, that was something I jotted down when he was talking. I really like that he gave credit to the coaching staff for creating the identity, and he's not wrong. He's a good assessment, and I also like that he acknowledged the OAs who gave everything they can. You know, Mike, the identity is important because when we talk about London, we talk about their identity. Their culture is the word you like to use. I think it's important, and to establish that and expect that of the players coming in. I think it's great that they had some of the draft picks here to see that here's the expectations. Here's our identity. Here's the culture we want to build on a go-forward basis. And that's a really good point by him, by Sebastian. And I should just add, Mike, we've had listeners in Europe and Florida and all over. Safe to say that we'll have one in Edmonton
absolutely
next year, I would think.
Seb will not give up on his Kitchener Rangers no matter where he's living. You know, the point on the OAs got me thinking, too, and because you brought his name up during this game. He scores twice tonight, Trent Swick. Obviously an OA candidate, and dare I say a likely OA for these Rangers next year. As I look down the roster, Adrian Misiljevic, Antonino Pugliese, Swick, Brustevich, and then Parsons and Malbouf. Brustevich, I think it's fair to say, will graduate to the pros. He's already signed to a pro deal. But there will be decisions that have to be made. Misiljevic, Pugliese, Swick, and a couple of OA goaltenders next year.
Yeah, not easy decisions for the staff, no question about it. I think it's safe to assume, Mike, you're right with Brustevich. He can go play in the American League,
you
I
betcha.
Would think, is where he's destined for. If I have to pick one, for sure, Trent Swick is in my OA. It's assuming these guys want to come back. I would think they would. You know, I'd rather be an OA here than go play in the East Coast League somewhere at this age. I think it's better off for, and, you know, case in point, a great example is McHugh, who signed with the
Columbus Blue Jackets.
Yes, sir.
Good point.
So there's lots of opportunity, and I think you become a leader, and teams are always looking for leaders to sign.
All right, let's get back to the phones on Rangers Talk. Steven, you are on City News 570.
Well, my friends, how are you?
We're good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, well, when it's over. But, yeah, I just, you know, I want to thank you guys for, you know, a good season, a great broadcast from you guys. Mike, you're awesome as usual. And Mr. Fixer, love to have your knowledge. I mean, your knowledge of the game, your insight, and your experience. It's great to hear on the broadcast for sure.
Thank you for the kind words. It was a fun season for me. It was a new experience for me, and I'm all about trying new things and, you know, trying to be good at what I do, and I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed it.
Yeah, definitely did, for sure. I mean, you look at it, like, look at the series. I mean, for a four-game series, so-called sweep, but it's not really as much of a sweep as you think. I mean, game one was pretty close. Special teams, Rangers couldn't capitalize. Game two, a bit of a wash maybe, but game three, a nice comeback, and again, couldn't complete it and seemed to be like that tonight. So, yeah, I mean, some more to give the kid credit, you know, after, I mean, he's not taking more than a few shots, a few hard shots, and I'm sorry, the last one was a bit of a cheap shot, but he come out and showed class and shaking hands, so... You know, good credit for him for that.
All right, Steven, appreciate the call. Good to hear from you tonight. And every game, I mean, Steven is as regular as they come on this post-game show. My heart breaks a little bit for Simon Motu, a guy that I've really enjoyed watching grow up with this team and get to know. And for his career to come to an end the way that it did is just so unfortunate.
Yeah, it is. My heart aches for him. It was a hit that shouldn't have happened, and
sure.
And then he would have been able to play tonight, and he would have made a difference in this game. No, a tight game like this, you know, you think about it, you've got Stark and Diracolo and McNeil playing quite a few minutes, actually. Motu would have been one eating up those minutes, and I think he really compliments a young Cameron Reed very well. And Cameron Reed has got huge upside, but he learned under a great leader, having played alongside him like all season. They were partners, and what a great partner to have and a great player to learn from.
That takes me back to what Sebastian said about the identity of this team and some of the players. We've seen Reed emerge, the rookies that were here, Romano, Lamb, etc. And then Tiracolo gets picked up in the U18. Ellenis has really shown well. And, you know, there's quite a bit stark. I thought to put the kid back on defense, for him to do what he did the last couple of games, impressive as all get out from where I'm standing.
He did a wonderful job. And against one of, well, I think the top club in the league.
Yep.
He wasn't playing defense against the bottom, Peter. He was playing against a legit championship club. I think this is the team to beat, in certainly on the west side, I think. And Saginaw or Sioux, whoever comes out, is going to have their hands full playing. And they put Stark in that spot, and he did well. He did very well. He's a good skater, and when you can skate, you can make up for any kind of errors that you can recover quicker.
I was just thinking about Saginaw and the Sioux based on something else I learned from you, or something you've been saying in these playoffs. The fewer games you can play, the better. London has played the minimum, and Sioux and Saginaw are still beating one another up. It's a 2-2 series there, so London must just be licking its chops right now at the chance at the next round.
And I think, you know, we talked about the rest versus rust thing. I think that first round series against Erie took a lot out of the Rangers, no question about it. And the travel involved with that, that wasn't an easy series. You go to six games, three of those games overtime, that takes a lot. And then to start right away, we played on the, we started on the Friday, I believe. Is that right? Or like we had one day off in between.
Oh, it was a Thursday.
Yeah.
We started Thursday night in London.
Played Tuesday after the eclipse. Wednesday off, started Thursday.
Yeah.
Like it was just right after one another. And that takes a lot. It really does.
It certainly does. All right. Let's squeeze in one more because it wouldn't be a post game show without Eddie. Eddie, you're on Rangers Talk.
Hello, Mike and Fixer.
Hi, Eddie.
Just saying the hello, Mike part. So I got a little. That was one thing I had to adjust to this year. That was definitely something.
That's right.
All right. You know what? There's a lot to say, so I'm just going to rapid fire it. Well, you know what? At least we didn't get scored on 15 seconds this time. You know, they made it what, 39? Good for them.
We actually could have we could have scored it in about 13 seconds.
Oh,
Ellenis had a great opportunity.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. And then Falby, like that stretch in the second man. But you know what? It is what it is. They battled hard. I mean, there's two ways to look at the season. There's the way where you look at it that they were first place for a while and they, you know, it ended the way it did. Or there's the way to look at it that they weren't even projected to make the playoffs at all. And they got home ice. They won a playoff series. And, I mean, I know a sweep's a sweep, but, I mean, you played three pretty darn good games against the London Knights, who I will say, the Knights are going to guess what's coming the next round. They are not getting out of the West. I'm guaranteeing that right now.
I don't know. Paul Fixter, I think, disagrees with that, Edward.
Yeah, they're not getting out of the West.
Why do you feel so strongly about that, Ed?
Because, honestly, like look at this. Three close games against, don't get me wrong, the Rangers are a good team. But Saginaw, the Sioux, they're a different beast, I think, you know, with health and all. And I think it's not going to be easy. I think it'll go 6 or 7, but I don't think the Knights will get away with their little shenanigans anymore.
Well, I like the Knights goaltending over Saginaw's, and there's a lot to like about the London Knights. Not that there isn't about Saginaw and Sioux, but I think this team is destined.
I will just add, I don't think they got away with their shenanigans. They got two suspensions in this series, too. So,
well,
anyway.
I mean more that the Rangers let them off the hook. The league definitely didn't let them off the hook. But, like,
gotcha.
You know what? Couldn't capitalize. I mean, it's one thing. You take Lawrence out of the lineup, but you got Moto out of the lineup, so it's like a one-for-one. But, no, you know what I'll say is that was a pathetic, just constant dieting this series. But, you know what? Enough of that. The series is in the past. I more just want to talk now about man, Matthew Sopp, Simon Motu, Mitch Martin. I mean, you know what? I know you hate to bring up when people bring up last year, but I'll tell you, last year I was on that team a lot for a lack of this, a lack of that. But you know what? These three guys never came up when I was talking about that because, hey, they played well, and they constantly played well, and they did it this year too. And, I mean, You know, Martin had his limited appearances, but even when he was playing, and those other two, and I mean, to see a Kitchener kid, I mean, I've kind of said it, like, Kitchener does not produce many good hockey players anymore. They still produce some, but
Mark Scheifele disagrees.
No, that's what I mean. There's some. There's definitely Mark. Come on. I know my Kitchener players, but
Nick Hague won a Stanley Cup.
Good point. Excellent. Even more recently than Mark Scheifele.
I'm not saying there aren't.
Don't go down this road, Eddie. I know. I get. We've always talked about not having homegrown talent on this team. I know.
But no, let's be real. The amount of talent the city of Kitchener has produced in the last, I'm getting yelled at. Oh boy, the amount of people that the city of Kitchener produces is so much smaller than what it used to. And that's not the point right now. The point is, I really liked at the end there when they sent the 308s out for one last lap, and you could hear Dave Schneider tearing up while announcing their names. And that third star that I assume Swick would have given to Motor, I don't know how that went down, but that was also really sick. So,
yeah, that's what he did. All right, Eddie, we got to run. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Go get yelled at by whoever's yelling at you. But I don't know. I think because we love hockey so much, we expect a city of 200,000 people to crank out 200,000 NHLers. But
yeah, it makes a good point. But I guess if Eddie feels that strongly about it, maybe he should get involved in coaching minor hockey and develop some of those young players.
I like it. Good idea, Paul Fixter. Eddie, we just picked a career path for you. Rangers fall 4-3 to the Knights tonight. The Knights take the series in four straight games. We're back to wrap on Rangers Talk for a season. Stay with us on City News 570.
We want to hear from all the armchair coaches. Call now, 519-570-2545. It's City News 570, Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Price is so low, just take it and go. City News 570.
Well, it is the third straight season the Rangers have ended in the second round. But the first of those three, we've been at home to have the opportunity for Rangers Talk following. And I remember what Don Cameron used to say, coming back from a road trip when the Rangers' faces were long. They looked dejected getting off the bus, and Don would nudge me saying, you know what? They're going to wake up tomorrow morning and realize that the sun has risen again. They will get over it. Takes a little bit longer. I know, Paul, you'll be over it in about 12 hours' time, maybe 13, when you're getting ready to tee off for your first round of the season.
I've already got buddies texting me, what time are you off tomorrow? I did set the tee time, keeping in mind that I did plan on being on a bus at some point to London. It didn't work out that way, but nonetheless, it's a tough pill to swallow.
My buddy who texted earlier and complimented us on our work said, I better not tick you off because he wants you to come back for another season. So I hope we can make those negotiations happen, Paul, because this has been a ton of fun for me this year.
Went too fast for me. I've really embraced it, really enjoyed it. You're a pleasure to work with. This team has been a real pleasure to be around. I'm going to miss it. I will fill my time with other things during the off season, but I've really enjoyed it, Mike. It's been fun. And for all those fans out there that have said such nice words, I truly appreciate it. Thank you.
Adam Sanderson, our producer back at the Boardwalk. Can you flip on your mic and join us here for a second, Adam? Do we have the technology for that?
Yeah.
Oh, I love microphones and radio and all that stuff. What are you going to do with all your spare time now, not dealing with us every other night in the playoffs?
That is an excellent question. I honestly haven't thought about it.
You're going to have to figure out how to replace your income, I guess. I always joke with these players, Adam, that they better keep playing because I get paid by the game. It's kind of the same for you.
I mean, there's always Leafs, there's always Jays, there's always something going on here that I can, you know, spend my time with.
That's a very good point. Well, listen, you have been absolutely terrific for us. We never see each other. You're always there, just that comfort zone for us, making sure this broadcast runs as well as it does. So kudos to you, young man, and thank you for everything for another season.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate all the kind words that you've given me over the season, and it's been wonderful working with Fixter. It's been a great season. I look forward to next season.
Thanks, Adam. It's been fun.
You know, Adam, why I say kind words, right? Because you always follow the number one rule.
I try to do that.
And the number one rule is
don't mess up.
I love it. This guy's great. Okay, that's our team, and it's our good night and good season to you. Paul Fixter stands beside me here in the booth. The voice you just heard for the first time. We should do that more. Adam Sanderson is our producer. My name is Mike Farwell. Thank you for another terrific season. And one more time, I bid you a very good night from the Memorial Auditorium in Kitchener.
This has been another edition of City News 570 Rangers Talk. Brought to you by You Save Flooring. Prices so low, just take it and go. Your home for the Kitchener Rangers. City News 570.